I'm Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by ESET. Now, we're going to be talking about cloud computing today and providing some guidance to smaller companies about what it can do for them, especially in these trying times we're living through at the moment. And to do that, I'm joined on the other end of an internet call by Gabriel Leroux. Gabriel is cybersecurity specialist at ESET. Gabriel, welcome to the podcast, and thanks for making the time to talk to Tech Central today. I believe you're in Cape Town.
That's correct. I'm in Cape Town. Thank you very much for having us, Duncan.
Pleasure. Thanks, Gabriel. Before we dive into our topic today, please tell me a little bit about ESET. I know the company is from Slovakia, but has offices all around the world. It started out as an antivirus company and now focuses on the broad cyber security market. But maybe give us a bit more color on the company.
That was a fair plug. So as you said, we come out of Eastern Europe. We've been doing this for about 30 years now. We actually caught the very first virus called Vienna about 30 years ago now. Uh-huh. And as you said, we've progressed quite a way since day one. We're now sort of looking at a broader scope with a lot more products in the range, covering from your normal endpoint security through to your encryption, and now covering all your cloud applications as well. So we cover over, I think it's 410 million people worldwide. So that's a huge number of machines that we're protecting and keeping safe.
You know what? I think I'm actually old enough to remember the Vienna virus. It was around the time of the bouncing ball virus, the DOS-based virus, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I remember that thing. In fact, I think I had a PC that got infected with it back in the day.
Oh, wow, really? Well, you should have had ESET. You would have been sorted.
Yeah, but this was way back. This was in the late 1980s, if I recall correctly. So we're gonna shoot way forward. We're gonna talk cloud computing, not ancient computer viruses today.
Yeah,
and we're specifically gonna have a look at cloud computing for smaller businesses. I think larger enterprises are pretty well set on their cloud journeys and understand what the technology can do for them, and in fact are involved in some pretty complicated projects. But for smaller businesses, I think that a lot of them are still running IT in house. They possibly have a consultant who helps them with their IT from time to time, but they're not necessarily, I think many of them don't really understand what the cloud can do for them. So we hopefully are going to answer some of those questions during the course of this podcast today. Mm-hmm. Now, Gabriel, we know about the lockdown and the work from home measures, and this hasn't only affected large enterprises, it's affected all companies, including smaller businesses. And it's driven many of these companies to consider cloud computing options for the first time. Even if they're doing it in an informal sort of way, I think some companies might not even realize that they've been using cloud services like Dropbox, for example, or they're communicating with their colleagues on Slack or some other cloud-based platform.
Yep.
In your view, is it time for smaller enterprises to take the potential of cloud more seriously?
I think that the technology has finally arrived, and the time is now where the pricing has met the value that it offers. As you mentioned, lockdown has been a big catalyst for the decision and a bit of homework on the smaller enterprise side. The thing about SMBs for me is that the owner can be the IT guy, he can be HR, he could be the finance guy, all in one, you know. Traditionally, the biggest holdback for us in this country, particularly from the cloud perspective, has been the connectivity side of things. Obviously, cloud being offsite and away from your premises, you're actually going to have to get there first. So we've managed to overcome that, and the broadband and the internet speeds as a general have brought us up to speed. And at the same time, we've been building data centers all over the country, all over the globe, to host these cloud computing services. But before I go into that, I'd like to just break down what the cloud is.
Of course.
Because if we are talking to SMBs, it's not always the IT specialist, then I think maybe just demystify it slightly, if you will. So just to give you an idea of what cloud actually is, where the word cloud came from. It's not actually a cloud in the sky, and a lot of people often think it's some mystical creature or something, but where the word cloud came from is actually from around the 60s, in fact, when we started designing our networks and our layout, and you would have a map of all your computers locally connecting to a central switch, and then all of a sudden you've got this network that you need to plug into, and we use the internet, and now they use a little symbol that was a cloud, and that's how you actually knew that you were going into a network over the internet. Right. And that's where the cloud concept came from. It actually just came from that little symbol. So nothing too I'd like to say there was a more interesting story to it, but it just purely comes down to that symbol on a drawing, and that's basically where this term has come from. So what that means is that you're not going into droplets in the sky. You're actually going to a data center. A data center would actually be a big building with plenty of computers in them, mm-hmm. with plenty of clever guys managing those computers, and plenty of services on those levels, on that computer. The reason you would have that is because as a business owner of an SME, SMB, you traditionally have a couple of softwares that you need to run, whether it's your payroll, whether it's a CRM, whether it's an ERP. There's certain things that help your business tick over, and traditionally you would have had to have built the hardware, the house, for all of these things to live in, and you'd have to host that house, you'd have to maintain that house, you'd have to keep it up and update it to the levels of where it is, and that can be a costly exercise. Things outdate as well, things move on. And so it becomes a case of balancing whether you want to continue owning and maintaining that thing, or are you going to have somebody else own and maintain, and you just pay for something as a service. And I think that's a nice intro into what something as a service is. Mm. Traditionally, you would have paid for your licensing for a particular software at a bulk, for a period of time. So call it a year's time, right? You'd pay a big once-off capital outlay for a year at a time to have your software or their software that they spend many years and time putting together so that it can help your business. Now, as a service, they're no longer charging you once-off big lump sum for you to host this piece of software on another piece of tin that you've got to actually pay for to look after. Instead, they actually host this service in their own environment and sell you the software on a monthly OpEx-based layer so that you don't have this massive outlay of cash and you're still getting the service, and the service is being managed by the vendor or the company themselves. So you have complete peace of mind that it's actually doing what it's supposed to be doing.
We've seen there's a lot of jargon in this space, Gabriel, and we've seen what are termed hyperscale cloud data center operators entering this market in the last while. Companies like AWS and Microsoft, for example, have invested a huge amount of money building these cloud data centers. Are these of relevance to smaller enterprises as well? I know we've got terms like software as a service, and I think smaller enterprises are becoming comfortable with, for example, getting their accounting services in a cloud type of format. Yep. But I think smaller companies will hear about hyperscalers. Mm. Is that something that should concern them? Should they be aware of
what's going on? Most certainly. I mean, a server has a specific time frame to live, okay? This piece of hardware, this machine, can only live for so long, as just like a human. So it's like a ticking time bomb. It's like driving a car. You're only set to drive that car for a certain amount of period until it starts causing too many issues and it's time to move on to the new car. It's the same with your hardware. You've got the software that you need to put on this hardware, but that hardware needs to be run and maintained and looked after. Mm. So you've got software as a service, but software as a service is one portion. If you're removing your software off of your machines locally, That means you might not need the machines locally, but you might still need that hardware space. And that's where the likes of Azure and AWS come in play, because you can then rent their hardware from them in their high-tech environment being managed by them, and never have to worry about that end of life. You're paying for something on an OPEX scale, so a monthly bite-sized chunk scale, rather than a big hefty outlay cost. And on top of it, you're watering down or cutting down on your management costs. You no longer need a team of guys to manage your internal network. That's what Microsoft does, and that's what AWS does for you in the hardware space. So that's exactly right. You've got in the cloud, you've got your software as a service, and you've got your hardware as a service. And it's literally just a case of taking it out of your hands and letting them do what they're good at.
Okay. And it's more than just software and hardware as a service in the cloud environment. There's much more that small companies are able to do with cloud computing. I'm thinking of things like cloud storage, for example, and cloud, yep, cloud backup as well.
Yeah, most certainly. I mean, just to give you an idea, what from my perspective in the cybersecurity space, I will give it to you in this manner. We host a service that looks after one computer, right? But now you've got a network of, say, 50 to 100 computers. It would be a real pain to go to each and every one of those computers, go and install the software, and then go and update it and keep it on the level it's supposed to be. So a few years back, we centralized management of these solutions so that you can send deploy the solution and get the information back from these endpoints and have a nice high-level overview of what's happening within your network on a security level. So we've now moved away from that on-prem where we needed you to have a server to host our management center, to having our system in our cloud so that you no longer have to give us that platform to build on. So that's an example. So we're one of the many resource-dependent resources in your business that you would need to have a server for, and you no longer have to by having the cloud. So there are thousands and thousands of possibilities when it comes to the cloud computing.
Yeah. And I suppose one challenge, and we saw it in the largest enterprises as well, is it's this innate human desire to be able to touch what you own. I think that big enterprises, right down to the smallest companies, like the fact that you can walk into a room and there's a server sitting there that's running your business. Yeah. When you go to the cloud, that server disappears. It's no longer there. You no longer have sight of it. And I think that probably instills fear into some people. How do you convince, particularly in the SMB space, how do you convince small companies to give up that tactile feel of their IT infrastructure?
Sure, I get the sentiment, but I also struggle to attach to it, to be honest with you, because me as an IT or as an owner of a business have only got so much money to spend on resources, okay? And like I said to you earlier, that resource is only a finite period of time. I don't have the likes of Microsoft's tech skills behind me, a massive team looking after this thing. I don't understand the complications and the perplexities there are to keeping solutions up to date, always at the latest version. And more so, I don't have redundancy in terms of power. If my thing goes down, if Eskom has its day, then I'm down. Now I've got to go further on and back up my power. If my internet drops on this line, I don't have a failover line. Mm-hmm. So if my internet fails, unfortunately, Mr. Customer, I will speak to you when my internet's back up or when Eskom decides to get its business back in order, you know? And that's what the cloud offers you, always on, always working solution. And so for me as a business owner, I'd much rather see a car on my books that I'm renting but never owning. It's never depreciating as an asset. I know that the dealer is always driving it and always looking after it. If something happens to it, it's their problem. Mm-hmm. I am getting the service of getting from A to B in that car, and that's what I'm getting.
Yeah, but ultimately, Gabriel, I think it's probably the financial side of things that's going to convince most companies, and I think it's probably the thing that's driving large enterprises to consider the cloud as well. Is the real world cost savings that can be realized. So maybe let's drill a little bit into a little bit more detail about what you can save as a small business if you if you consider the cloud. I mean, can you actually reduce your costs by a meaningful amount, a meaningful and measurable amount by embracing cloud solutions? And also, what does it mean for your company's cash flow?
That's a very good question. So there's like two factors: is the cash flow versus am I saving? In fact, often cloud services are more expensive than the on-premise solution, and people often get a bit of a fright, you know. But you've got to look at the indirect cost savings in order to truly get a full view of this. Okay, in order to host your own, let's say, private cloud, which would be your own network, right? You'd have to have the hardware. You'd have to have an IT guy to look after it. You'd have to have one internet link, another internet link, as I said, potentially a backup of power. Right. And then how much does it cost your business to go down for 1 hour? Mm-hmm. That is the true cost of saving, is how downtime. I looked at the figures and I can't remember them exactly, but on average to the SME, the downtime of 1 hour can be literally the cost of my entire solution for a year. Yeah. So for me, that is a massive cost savings. And then on the cash flow issue, okay, especially considering the times we're in right now, people don't have massive cash flow to outlay for a security solution, or for a new server, or for a new solution for the business. And this is what cloud offers you. It gives you the OPEX layer model rather than the CAPEX model. You're looking at it as a monthly fixed fee from forever until you're finished with that service. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you go the OPEX way, you've got to buy, and then you never know. Maybe you need to get more throughout the year, and it makes it quite difficult to budget. So from a financial perspective, the FDs and the CTOs love it when the CIOs bring the OPEX model to them, because it actually starts to look a lot better on paper and a lot more digestible than a massive CAPEX outlay on something that you don't understand and you can't even see where the value is going.
Yeah, absolutely. But how should small companies approach this? I mean, we keep hearing again and again in large enterprises that this has to be part of a digital transformation journey, that you don't just rush in and suddenly start putting everything into the AWS cloud or whatever service provider you happen to choose. You need to go through this methodically, decide why you're doing it so that it doesn't impact the business, so you don't run up massive costs. Do you need to be as methodical about it if you're a small business, or can you just embrace it quickly?
Look, I'm quite a methodical person myself, and I'm not one to just throw the kitchen sink at something. And there are warranted spaces where you might not be ready for the transition to cloud. Maybe the software you're using for your ERP is not ready to move to the cloud. Maybe there is data that you can't have in that environment, you know. So there will be steps and things that you need to make along the way in order to get yourself ready. But you need to decide, what is it that I actually want to have in the cloud, and what is it that's holding me back to being on-prem? And that's the biggest jumps that you need to make as a business. You need to outline where your biggest costs are, and then also go and have a look. When did we spend money on this? Maybe we just bought a new server. Maybe we've just deployed the old model, you know. Yes, it might have been a bit short-sighted in that the cloud is on the way, but you've outlaid that cash. And then unfortunately or unfortunately, you've got to go that route and play the game on the wicket that you've got.
Yeah, you make a good point about whether your software vendors have actually embraced the cloud. I mean, very often I think companies are running quite old versions of accounting software that, I find it difficult to believe these days, but there's still companies out there that, run their accounting on disks between the accountant and their finance teams.
The things I hear every day would make your skin crawl. Windows is forcing people to do updates now. They're doing a big certificate drive, and a lot of things are now not working on Windows 7, right. Or the certificates are no longer going to align, and people are like, it's amazing to think that people are on such outdated stuff. Why? Not because they had to be. Sometimes, as you said, the software is holding them back to a particular version. But for the most part, it's because I understand Windows 7. And this thing that says updates over and over and over, just ignore, ignore, ignore. And it drives an IT person mad, and it's just going to be like, if I speak to my dad, he says, why do they keep popping up? I said, Dad, because you've got somebody up there doing the work for you, so you don't have to follow the instructions and click updates. Trust me, every time there's a new virus being created, it's not on your machine. Your machine needs to go to the cloud, say, okay, cool, I need that information so that I can protect your machine. I can't protect your machine if you don't upgrade, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just a case of actually breaking the shackles, taking the time to demystify it, finding out what is your concerns, and actually realizing that for the most part, there is an answer to it.
Yeah. I'm horrified sometimes. I help a neighbor of mine with his old computer from time to time. And every time I go there, it's got new bits of malware installed, and he, of course, he hasn't updated the Run Windows update since the last time I was there a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's just full of, and I suppose this happens in companies as well. If you're a company making plumbing widgets, for example, you know nothing about computers and IT, and if this annoying thing comes up onto your screen saying, please update me while you're trying to do an Excel spreadsheet, you just go away, you're getting out of my way.
Exactly.
People don't even think about it. There almost needs to be quite a lot of education around this. Do you think that the same thing is going to apply in the cloud? Do these companies need professional help in transferring themselves into a cloud type environment? Because many of them honestly won't know that the cloud isn't a cumulonimbus in the sky that deposits
on
the
earth. And for the most part, that's what the cloud is for, to be quite honest. You don't need to know. You don't need to know how it works. That is exactly what the cloud is for. There's people that are managing the cloud, the data center, the place where your information is held and being processed. And you don't need to understand it. For me, the biggest education comes into play with regards to cybersecurity. Don't click on that link. Make sure you're updating, and make sure you're doing what your network administrator is telling you. That's right. Where your awareness training comes into play. Right. If Susan in accounts, who's almost 60, doesn't want to play ball and doesn't know how it works, she doesn't have to. My cloud managed software solution, security solution, will do all the work for Susan. She doesn't even need to know how it works.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, education is the way forward. And I think that there's going to be like my generation, I can have a conversation for the most part a lot easier than having it with my dad. You know, we understand the reason why you need to update. We're waiting for the next software update because we want to see what's better. We want to see the changes. We want to know that it's at that level, you know. So I think that natural progression is going to happen. And the hard truth of it is that vendors are pushing the button and saying, you don't have a choice. End of life is coming. If you don't update, your computer's going to stop working or your network's going to be unprotected. So, and it's not just the small guys, it's the huge guys. So, it's you can't stop progress, and rather join it now, jump on the bus now, or play catch up and look back.
Yeah. Well, while we're on the subject of security, let's delve a little bit into what ESET offers in this space, particularly in the cloud space. I know you've got a number of products, including ESET Cloud Administrator, ESET Security Management Center Cloud, ESET Cloud Office Security, and ESET Cloud End User Cloud products. Maybe just take us through those in brief and what they mean for a smaller enterprise that's considering the cloud.
Sure, that was a bit of a mouthful, so I'll try and scale it down a bit. Basically, what that means is that we're protecting your computer with a couple of functions. One being your anti-malware and anti-phishing, anti-spam, that lives on your computer. We've got a database of 30 years worth of virus that we have to refer back on. We have 18 research centers globally picking up almost 30,000 new variants of viruses every single day. And so through this and many other layers within our technology, we will keep your business safe on our endpoint side. That's the one side, keeping the viruses out. The next side is keeping your data in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where encryption comes into play. And encryption is basically to say, if your computer had to get nicked, if somebody had to walk away from it at the bus stop, even if they pulled that hard drive out and plugged it into another computer, it would come up as jargon. They would not be able to make sense of it. You need a 250-bit key to decrypt that thing, and that would take you a lifetime, in fact, many lifetimes with supercomputing processing power to actually decrypt, simple password protection. So that's basically encryption, keeping your data safe. And then you mentioned cloud. So how does cloud plug into security if security is living on your PC? And it comes down to the management. So if I am the security officer of a company or the IT administrator of a company, I have 100 endpoints to look after. When I mention endpoints, I'm talking about the computer in front of you. I'm talking about your mobile in your hand. I'm talking about a server in your server rack. Any sort of last mile on your network is an endpoint, okay? It's difficult, as I said, to actually manage them independently. So we've designed software along with most other vendors these days, not all, but to have a centralized piece of software that used to live on your server, and then your endpoints talk to that piece of software. And now this year, we're actually going to be moving our management software entirely in the cloud so that you no longer have to host that thing. And so that is where we're using the cloud. And then there's the other side of it where we're protecting your cloud space. So you mentioned our ESET Cloud Office Security. What that is to protect your 365 space. So you've taken the leap, you've moved yourself, your mail to the cloud, okay? Yep. You've moved your cloud storage space, being OneDrive for argument's sake, okay, right, into the cloud. All fine and dandy, now Microsoft's looking after it. Microsoft's great at doing Microsoft, but it's still a vulnerable entry into your network, and so you still need to protect that environment, and that's where our software comes in. As a third party, we're a layer inside the Microsoft cloud, protecting you in the same manner we would have on your PC or on your online your on-prem mail server. So protecting you from those phishing attacks, from zero-day ransomware attacks in the Microsoft space. So that's basically what we're doing in that space. And then, yes, we also have a few other services together with the encryption and the endpoints. We've got what we call two-factor authentication. And for me, this is also, you said, how do you educate? What do you do? Two-factor authentication is that bit where you go on your Facebook and you've got your same password on Facebook, on Gmail, on all of your platforms, but Facebook forces you to, even if you have that thing, there's that layer where it says you're going to get an SMS, put that PIN in after the fact, okay? And that's called multi-factor authentication. We offer that not only for your Google and stuff, but for every other vector into your network. So whether you're remote viewing into a machine, you can have a 2FA on there. Whether you're going into your web Outlook mails, we can have a 2FA on there. Nice. If you're VPNing into a server that you want to have restricted access to, you can have a 2FA on there. And those are the sort of pillars that we use to protect our networks.
Yeah, that's interesting. I often tell people who and it's actually terrifying that people reuse passwords and easy to guess passwords across all these networks. I often tell people, why are you not using a password manager? Why are your passwords not machine generated? Because if you're not doing that, and if you're not enabling two-factor authentication on any website that offers it, you're
it's there for your own protection, literally. Yeah. I mean, these days you don't even need to go and fetch that PIN. Like, for instance, on ours, you're going to download the ESET app. You no longer have to go and fetch your SMS, find that number, copy and paste. You literally got a push notification, like you got a notification from Facebook. You click on that notification, boom, on your computer. It could be on your smartwatch. You're trying to get into your VPN here. ESET saying, can you verify? Click on your smartwatch and you're A4 away. So it's seamless. It's thoughtless, and you're protecting yourself from Peter in the driving team who's had the same password for 30 years on all his platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Well, Gabriel, before we wrap up, I just wanted to we spoke about the monetary impact of this and perhaps touched a little bit on the convenience factor, but cloud also has some other benefits, including, and I think this is particularly relevant during the lockdown, that it means employees can work from anywhere in effect, and it also facilitates team collaboration. Maybe just to touch on that briefly before we close.
Yeah, sure. I mean, basically, it's one big classroom that never goes away. My boss has been loving me because I'm always online. So I said, I'm coming into the office because I'm working 8 to 5 because I had I was always online. You know, you kind of when you traditionally in office, you're in a meeting here and there and you fill up your day. But when you're sitting at home, you're literally always there and always available. And you've got, whether you're sharing files over a file share space, whether you're collaborating with 100 students over video conference, those are all happening from cloud spaces. If you're having a Zoom call, your information is coming from your endpoint to a data center. Your friends are all coming to that data center, and you're sharing the same space within the cloud. So it all happens from that cloud space. I think if anyone hasn't been on a cloud model or service since lockdown, I think they must be living in Timbuktu or something, because we've all, even my granny knows how to use Zoom these days. We've been playing family quiz nights every Wednesday since the beginning of lockdown, which has been great. Brought our remote family quite close together again, you know, having chats with the family in the UK, which we never would have done just simply because we're so busy with our day to day, you know. Yeah. And that's basically what the cloud allows us to do. It's incredible. In my lifetime, I've watched it having to send a mail to a friend where we were writing in class to a pen pal, to being able to have 50 of my closest friends around the globe in the same place at the click of a button. Yeah. And that all happens with the cloud.
Yeah, I heard one executive, I forget who, saying this week that the lockdown and COVID-19 has accelerated the journey into cloud by multiples of years.
Oh yeah.
And that companies and individuals are now very much aware of the power of it. And
I think from my side as an account manager, when I go out, like, I was lucky to come up to Joburg eventually and see some clients recently. Yeah. And some of these businesses were 300 strong businesses. Some of them have either closed doors. Some, because we're in the IT space, we've been active. We've been needed. In fact, it's been kicking off. But what, for the most part, has been very interesting for me is engaging with these business owners. And a lot of them are older. A lot of them were attached to central management. You must be in the office 8 to 5, otherwise you're not working. Mm-hmm. And we will own this building because this is where we work. We will own that software. We will own that server because that's just the way it's done. And going back after the COVID and having the conversation with the guys, they said, I wish I never signed that new 10-year lease. I wish I'd never bought that server because I can see my team working in a space I never thought was possible. It was like you could see revelation within their eyes, you know, like these are guys that have been regimented, you know, potentially in an army mentality potentially, or something like that, where it's just that everything is regimented and everything, that's just the way it is. You will get to work on time, you will do this. And they slowly actually, because of COVID, have realized my team can actually do this all from home. They can have their time with their kids. They don't have to sit 2 hours in traffic to get to work and back. They're happier because they're able to do that, and they're more productive. So, and that's all possible with the cloud. So it's been quite an interesting time in my business.
Great discussion, Gabriel. Thanks for sharing your insights with Tech Central today. Gabriel Leroux is cybersecurity specialist at ESET.
Thanks, Duncan.